whole program is telling a story, not just a story, but the story, the greatest story ever told. And so I fall at the part of the program that hopefully will give a bit more of the narrative to the music, to the praise, to the scripture, to everything that we have come together today. And while the timelessness of time is difficult to introduce, I thought I'd have an introduction to my introduction and maybe do it by the original introducer, capital I, introducer, who would introduce himself by saying, "Here I am." It's difficult for me to begin, actually. Beginning is something I've never experienced. Creator never being created has no beginning. So, here I am. No conception, no gestation, no birth, just here. No beginning, certainly no end, no such thing as time passing, no time and yet nothing but time, all space. There's no event to define me, no title to introduce me, no theory to explain me. I just am. But being am has never been enough for me. Existence has never been enough for me. Just to be would have left my heart longing. I am here, but I've always sought more. You see, while there may not have been a moment when I decided to be, I did decide, have decided, and will go on deciding that I am. Not simply loving, not simply lovable, not simply beloved, but to be love. Here I am. Love is here. So since I am love, I've defined love, how it will be known, how it will be experienced. Love will become known as many things. There will be debates of ages trying to define, refine, and confine love. But love, as with me, cannot be defined, refined, or confined. With that said, the one thing it will never be is to be experienced as alone. I've never been alone. My existence is manifested in community. I've always existed in community. You will label it as Trinity at a point in time. Yet we have always been. And while we have always been, we've always been one, and we've always been love's true experience. Here I am. Love is here. Love will speak. Love will act. Love will never just be here. Love's mere existence, as with mine, is woefully inadequate. That woe in my heart asks a question, and love demands that it will be answered. And the question is, who will know? Who will know that they are loved? Who will hear my heart's song of love? Who will know what I know? Here I am. Love is here. We are here. But who will know? As with the decision to be love, the decision to be creator happened not in a moment, but as always, being simply here. Love will act. Love demands someone to be loved. Creation was not to impress myself with my own power. Creation was love in action. Creation was to give me someone to love. Someone to exist as I exist. Someone to know what I know, hear what I hear, feel my touch, taste what I taste. To experience my love for them. Someone who will walk with me and talk with me. So here I am. Love is here. We are here. And you will know. How will you know? The creator-creature relationship has a fundamental flaw. The creature can't know the creator. Created beings cannot share all the creator. Creating you in my image was just a start, just the beginning of the experience I long for you when it comes to love. Here I am. You will know that I am there. Love desires you walking with me. Love desires you talking with me. I desired that I would do just that. I desire to inhabit my creation's limbs, to walk and touch as they do, lips to speak as they do, so that they may love as I do. Here I am. Here are we. In heaven's creation, I've taken on the body of angels. We've walked, we've talked, we've sung, we have loved. And yes, we have fought. A third of us gone. A war waged in heaven, now waged on earth. Earth, a creation created in love, now existing in war. My children become refugees looking for one thing, looking for the existence of love. So, on a not-so-silent night, on a midnight not very clear, yet away in a manger, I descended again, taking on arms to touch and legs to walk, lips to speak, to walk and talk, all so we can love. Your father Moses once asked me who I was. My reply to him was my name. My reply, Eyech Asher Eyech. I am. I exist. That I am. I exist. You will know that love is here. I've been, will have been, and will always be. And I've decided that you will know what I hear. You will hear what I hear. You see what I see. You feel what I feel. And you will taste what I taste. Here I am. In the beginning was the beginning. Although in one sense of the word, really, there was no beginning, was there? In the end, of course, will be the end. And although in one sense of the word, there really is no end. Now the beginning that really is a beginning will also have an end that really isn't an end. Although behind this beginning and end, there is a non-beginning and a non-end. And before this beginning has its end, it will be given an opportunity to have a new beginning that will keep it from getting to its end. For God, there is no beginning. And of course, there is no what? There is no end. He then created children, for there is
with them a beginning with an option to have an end, and unfortunately, we chose the option. We chose to put an end to the beginning. So, God made sure there would be an opportunity to have our end turned back into a beginning that has no end. Now, many stories and narratives generate tradition as a natural process to continuing the telling of one story. Tradition is the handing down of information and beliefs and customs by word of mouth or by example from one generation to another. So from one generation to another, it will be over time, this greatest story has a tradition. This greatest story, as with beginning and end, needs tradition to establish it in a couple of ways. We establish it our way, those who decided to put an end to the beginning. We establish it in a timeline. For us, tradition happens linearly, from beginning to what? To the end. As the wisest man who ever lived said, from the cradle to the grave. And in between is a mess. But we view time as that. Christmas, birthdays, all events are points in time that happen linearly. That is, somewhere between the beginning and our end. It's viewed as a line, as a beginning and an end. Is neither bound nor controlled by our linear time. So in God's case, time is timeless. See, before the beginning, there was God. Bound by nothing, bound by no one, including time, he did not require the thought of anyone or anything in order to exist. He simply is, always has been, always will be. So he can be whatever or whoever he wants. Yes or no? Yes. If there's one who's allowed to do what he wants and be who he wants, it's who? It's God. So we can safely assume that he is, because why? Because he chooses to. He desires to. He wants to. His choice is to be made and to be made known and to be made known in a way that he chooses. And up until now, the best of his revelation is in these three persons that we have labeled a doctrine and then just kind of set it aside as something to study. But sorry, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is who he is. When it comes to timeless, the Father and the Holy Spirit, they seem easier to define as timeless. The one that's easier, that isn't as easy to describe as timeless, is who? Is Jesus. Because the Son took on end in order to give us beginning. It's easy to picture the Father and the Holy Spirit as being timeless. But the Son all of a sudden has dates. 4 BC, 33 AD, and on and on. But we're told. We're told by our spiritual father, Paul, from his letter to the church at Colossae. He's rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So the Son is as eternal as the Father, is as eternal as the Spirit. Yes, the incarnation, at once eternal, was brought down or reduced to a point in time. But he did that for us. It wasn't needed for any other reason except to do it for us. And even in one sense, it really wasn't a point in time. Because Peter would go on to say, he was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. In other words, he's been there with no beginning, just waiting for an opportunity to take our end, experience it, and make us a beginning. For our sake, there was a point in time. For our sake. We put the line on time. We put the end to the beginning. So for our sake, he stepped in to our time. For us. Paul will go on to say in Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, before you and I ever, eons, even thoughts came into being, he already had stepped into our time. He chose you and me when? An eternity ago. He allows us to live in the eternal beginning, even before we stamped an end to the beginning. We became tradition. Imagine being tradition before you were even able to take a breath. My Christmas traditions, our family, Nellie's and mine together, are the sum total of all the Christmases of our ancestry. Before I even got to what would be the first Christmas I can remember, they were the sum total of my families. I passed some on and some not. Our kids will do and have done the same and continue to do the same job of creating and filtering and passing on and not passing on. Living in this linear end, celebrating the eternal beginning. That, yes, had a beginning in our time, but not a beginning in his time. And, yes, had an end in our time that turned into the beginning of our time. And he did it, not just because he could. He did it out of desire. He did it out of choice. This eternal beginning for us spoke in our words, in our time, asking the Father, he says, "Lord, I desire that those whom you've given me may be with me where I am." The reason he stepped into time, became a human baby, in this story that we tell, is because he wanted to be with us where we are. In order then for us to be with him where he is. That they may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you've given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And yet before he uttered that desire to be with you and me, he says to the Father himself, he says, "I in them, you in me, so that they may become completely one. So the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." To ponder anew a season of tradition, to ponder anew, to think about tradition and timelessness and all of this in time, I guess I would like to conclude
like I do almost every year, to remind you that God's Christmas tradition is you. His Christmas tradition is us. For a creator who is not bound by time and could absolutely not be controlled by any sort of tradition, he's decided that tradition, meaning so much to us living in the end of the beginning, that he would just go ahead and make you and me his tradition. This tradition didn't begin with your birth. It will not die with our death.